Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in an amazing series, Themes in the Gospel of John. It has been such a blessing. If you've missed any, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, or Google us, Hope Sabbath School. Go to our YouTube channel. You can watch all of the past episodes in this series, Themes in the Gospel of John today. Blessed are those who believe. We're going to look at some characters in the gospel story, but it's also a declaration for us that we are blessed when we believe. So welcome. We're glad you joined us for Hope Sabbath School. Welcome to the team. Take a look at each other and wave. We're glad you're all here today. You notice I'm particularly excited today because Sabina's going to be teaching, and we always are blessed when our team teachers share the Word of God. We've got some great team members joining us too remotely, and we're happy to welcome Zandili. Good to see you with us today. And Corey, great to have you back with us as we study the Word of God. And we're glad you're with us. You see, Derek, you know, I raise my hand sometimes when I want to make a comment. Write it down. Send it to us, sshope@hopetv.org. Share with us. It's an in-depth, interactive study, not just here, but around the world. We're also happy when you write to us because it lets us know that God's working, right? Amen. That's why we do what we do. So here is an Ndele writes from Zambia. Do we have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia? Right. Ndele writes and says, Hope Sabbath School is a winning team, sharing the message of hope and salvation all the way. Amen. Well, Ndele, I would remind you that you're part of the team, that we're all part of the team, right? Because it's a global family, not just those of us in the studio. Many are downloading the outline and teaching interactive Bible studies where they live. We're all part of the team together. Thanks for writing. Winston writes to us from Australia. Mm. Winston says, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
I think they know that we'll wave if they say that.
Yeah.
I was home today, wasn't able to go to church, but I watched online and then I started to watch Hope Sabbath School, and I really enjoyed the program. God bless you all. Well, some people get, they have a sickness or something happens, they can't get out. Wherever you are, tell your friends, tell people that maybe can't get to church, tell them to go to Hope Sabbath School and study the Word of God with us. Here's a short handwritten note from the state of Kansas in the United States of America, and a donor writes, please accept this gift in support of Hope Sabbath School. I've been watching since it started.
Wow.
I think we read one who said, I've been watching since last month, right?
Right, right?
One said 10 years. This donor says, I've been watching since it started.
Mm.
In fact, one of your team even came to my Bible class and told me about it. Well, it's someone who's not here today. It's our team member, Stephanie. Some of you know Stephanie.
Yes.
Actually came to this person's church and told them about Hope Sabbath School.
Wow.
And a donation of $100.
Oh, praise God.
Well, thank you, donor.
Amen.
From Kansas, for being part of the miracle. Amen. We're all working together. Mm-hmm. And thank you to each one of you for being part of this mission. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on that little yellow donate button, or get an address and write to us, send a gift, say, Derek, I want to be part of sharing the immeasurable, unfailing love of God, a message of saving hope as we prepare for the soon coming of Jesus. Thank you for your support. One last note from Lil. Lil writes and says, since God brought me back to him, after over 25 years away from him, one of the first Bible studies I found was, you want to guess?
Hope Sabbath School.
Hope Sabbath School. I've been watching every week and taking notes, transcribing, and using the study guide to facilitate a Bible class both for adults and also for youth and for people who are new to the faith.
Amen. Wow. That's awesome.
Lil, you have become an evangelist.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Jesus wants for all of us, right?
Nice.
Blessed are those
who believe.
Who believe. Yeah. I've gotten so much insight, Lil writes, and other perspectives I didn't think, other perspectives I didn't think about, and it has enhanced my love for the scriptures and my love for God.
Amen.
So much more that now I can share that every week.
Amen.
I tell you, I want to meet Lil. I'm guessing Lil is an abbreviation for the English name Lillian. Lillian, but I suppose it could be a nickname. Write to us and tell us, Lil. sshope@hopetv.org. Thank you for the dedication and love for Christ that you share. God bless you all. Well, I think we'd say God bless you too, Lil, wouldn't
Amen.
You say that?
Yeah.
She's teaching adults, youth, new believers.
Amen.
After 25 years away, Jesus brought you home.
Amen.
Well, we're glad that you're all part of our Hope Sabbath School family. That's why we do what we do.
Praise God.
Sharing a message of eternal hope. And have you downloaded the gift yet? The 6 trilogy scripture songs from the words of Jesus? 4 from the Gospel of John, 2 from the book of Revelation. I sing them all the time. It's a great way to hide the words of Jesus in your heart. Just go to our website, click on the free gift tab. You know our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the free gift tab, and it will show you how to download those 6 trilogy scripture songs. I want to thank my wife for making those available to us as a gift to you so that you can hide God's word in your heart. And when you're there at the website, you can download our theme song for this quarter, Behold the Lamb of God. Do you like that song? That's a testimony of John the Baptist. Let's sing it together.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. I saw the Spirit descending. Away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God.
You know, when Jesus comes, dead in Christ rise, and the redeemed are all gathered, caught up to meet him in the air. I'm going to be looking for John the Baptist, Sabina. I'm going to thank him for that testimony. I'm going to start singing. He says, I don't know that song. And I'll tell him, let me teach you the song. But thank you for your testimony. God bless you as you teach us today,
Amen.
Sabina.
Amen. Let's behold a little bit more of the Lamb of God. Amen.
Amen.
As we study together. But let's start with a prayer.
Amen.
Dear Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, we are so thankful to be able to behold these words here. And as we learn about the different witnesses that were given by all sorts of people that you touched during your ministry in this earth, we are also moved to grow into your likeness. So as we join together here, we ask that your Holy Spirit, just like it rested upon you, you rest upon us also.
Amen.
We'll speak to our hearts, impress our minds with truth, with the truth that you are the Son of God that takes away the sin from the world.
Yes.
I pray in a special way for all, every person who will be watching this, that they will also come to witness of Jesus in their lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so as we continue this series of studies on the book of John, I love specifically the first verse of the book of John that says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Mm-hmm. That gives us the clarity that Jesus's testimony and his work have not just started when he was first saw in Galilee or in Nazareth or in Jerusalem, but he has been working since the beginning of the Word.
Wow.
And we are going to start our study looking at the witness of a person that has not had the privilege of seeing Jesus walking and ministering in this earth, but that has had a prophetic witness of the work of Jesus that was happening and that was about to happen in the future as well. And that's Abraham. And so maybe, Travis, if you start us off in the study by taking us to John 8:56, and we are going to see what is it that Jesus talked about the witness of Abraham or the revelation that was given to Abraham about him.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Praise God.
So what was the testimony of Jesus regarding the revelation that was given to Abraham? Mm. Anyone? Yes, yes, Gladys.
That the Messiah would come. That revelation was given to Abraham, and just imagining that, he was glad.
That he was glad, he would rejoice. Yes, Puya.
I believe there was also the story where God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Mm-hmm. Just before he sacrificed Isaac, the angel stopped him, and God provided a ram in the place of Isaac. Mm-hmm. And I believe God let Abraham understood at that point in time that in the future there would come a Savior, the Messiah, who would be sacrificed on behalf of the people of this world. And so Abraham foresaw Jesus' day.
Okay, so we are seeing here that Jesus, he made, you know, this testimony about the revelation that Abraham was having. And it seems like that one of the moments where Jesus and God was unveiling himself to Abraham was, for instance, in this episode that you are narrating, right? Yeah. So we do have some passages here that we are going to look to then. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, that will give us, you know, evidence of the ways in which Jesus was already revealing himself to Abraham, and not only to Abraham, but all the nations and those around him who were to be blessed by this testimony. Amen. Okay, so maybe Puya, since you already initiated us with some of those stories, if you take us to Genesis 12:3.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Mm-hmm. So we see a special event here that was happening. That was the call of Abraham, right? And already in this call of Abraham, there was a promise. And it was a promise that was pointing to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Then maybe Joshua, can you take us to Genesis 18, verses 17 and 18?
Of course. I will be reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord said, "Since shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him."
Okay, so... Is that revelation also happening here in this event? Which event is that? Do you have any thoughts? Can you see the revelation of Jesus occurring here also? Yes, Travis.
It is occurring through his son Isaac, because Jesus would end up coming through the lineage of Abraham.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that is a very important event of the revelation of God to Abraham and to us as well. I think that's also mentioned in the New Testament. We're eventually going to get there. But there's one more passage in the Old Testament that we can look to in chapter 22, verses 13 to 18. And maybe let's have Corey, can you take us there? And that's just another event, another passage where we can see the revelation of Jesus already in the times of the Old Testament. Corey.
Yes. Yes. Genesis 22, 13 through 18 in the New King James. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice."
Amen. Amen. So we see here not once, not twice, but at least three times in which this promise of this coming special blessing through the seed of Abraham was going to be revealed in Jesus. Yes, Travis.
I just want to make a point. And in verse 8, Abraham says, "My son, the Lord will provide a burnt offering himself." Many scholars believe that there should be a comma. "The Lord will provide himself a burnt offering." Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. I think it was revealed to him that God would provide himself the lamb to be slain, as we've been talking about with John the Baptist.
Those are very interesting thoughts. Indeed, we know for sure that it was his provision of his own self that granted us, right, to have this blessing in Christ. So we are going to be looking then in a couple of verses in the New Testament that confirm this truth. Can we please turn to the book of Matthew? And then I'm going to ask Viara. Viara, if you lead us to the first chapter of Matthew, and it's going to be verse 1. And we are going to be looking here at a New Testament writing that confirms the revelation that was given to Abraham about Jesus.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham."
Okay. And do we have any thoughts here about this particular verse? Yes, Puya.
You know, for us, I believe we take it for granted that Matthew started his account of the story of Jesus with the genealogy. Because we just read it like, oh, it's just another story. But for the Jews at that point in time, they had been expecting the Messiah to come from the lineage of Abraham and David. And so in Matthew, intentionally starting the story of Jesus by pointing them back to Abraham should remind them of that promise that this Jesus indeed is that promised blessing from Abraham.
That's awesome, right? I think it's so beautiful the ways in which the Holy Spirit has impressed the different writers to give the witness that was important in their context, because we see that for Matthew, it was so important to refer to Abraham, while for John, he decided even to go back to Genesis, right? So let's look also at Acts 3:25 and 26. And maybe, Jason, if you could read that text for us.
All right. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Acts chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. "You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Verse 26. "To you first, God have raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turn away every one of you from your iniquities.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's awesome. So we can see the God, he has preached the gospel.
Amen.
Through type and promise. You know, these prophecies that we see, even in the time of Abraham, they were giving already evidence of God's love and presence to them back in that day.
Amen.
So it's important that we keep in mind that the witness that is given to Jesus is not just about the stories that we read in the New Testament, but also all throughout eternity, from, you know, eternity to eternity, there is a lot of witnesses that we are going to hear about Jesus. Yes, Travis.
If I may, I would like to read from the book of Hebrews, because it wasn't just the writings about Abraham that confirmed, it was his life that confirmed it. And Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, if I could read that.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11, 9 and 10. It says, by faith he, that is Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He did not just believe that the Messiah would come. He believed his mission would be successful.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Amen. Thank you so much, Travis. And it's awesome to see also how, just like as we witnessed in our previous studies, how God has this way of revealing himself, you know, little by little. He puts a seed, he explores an experience of a person, all together he brings us to see his work all throughout history as we are.
And I guess his plan was not just to be a God of the generation of Abraham by blood, but all that spiritually would accept Jesus. And how awesome it would be if one day it says, well, and he was the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Viara. That's what I'm going to hear one day.
Yes. And isn't it in Galatians? I think it's Galatians 3:8, if I'm not mistaken. But if it's not, we'll find it. That actually the Bible says that even Abraham, he was justified by faith in Christ.
That's right.
Right. So there is no such person that has existed or that will exist that would not require the sacrifice of Jesus as the source of their salvation.
Right.
Okay. So I sometimes hear people make this question, like, oh, what happened to those that came before Jesus? Would they be able to enjoy to benefit of the blessing of the sacrifice of Jesus? And what is the answer?
Absolutely.
Yes. Of course, there would be no other way. There was no plan A and now plan B or plan Z. So the plan has always been the same from eternity through eternity. Amen.
Amen.
So we are going to be looking now at the witness of a beautiful, beautiful story here that was left in the book of John. It's the witness of Mary. So we move from the prophetic witness of Abraham to now to learn about the witness of a person that actually spent time with Jesus and saw Jesus right in front of her. So maybe Gladys, if you take us to the book of John, and we are going to start off on chapter 12. And if you read verses 1 to 3, and I would like us all to be already considering, why did Mary anoint the feet of Jesus with an expensive ointment? Gladys.
Okay. And I'm reading from the New International Version, John chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume.
So why do you think that Mary anointed the feet of yes, Jason?
We understand that it was before his burial, you know, that he would be anointed, but also her devotion. I mean, this woman had been delivered from like seven demons, you know, so her love for Jesus, she was always at his feet. And so this is an opportunity for her to express that in such a loving way.
Yes, Derek.
So I can only conclude that she was led by the Spirit to do that. This was very intimate.
Right.
I mean, pouring and wiping with her hair. I don't think she thought that up by herself.
Right, correct.
I think the Holy Spirit impressed her. I'm not sure she even fully realized she was anointing for his burial. Mm-hmm. I think Jason's right. She was thinking, well, I love my Savior. He's delivered me.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I believe the Holy Spirit impresses us to do things. Mm-hmm. And later we may understand the full implications of what we're doing.
That's right. So she was surely very devoted. She had already experienced Jesus to a point that she would do such a pour out of her the things that she had on her hands as an expression of her inner experience with God. Yes, Puya.
Amen.
Some have noted that she spent a year's wage on that anointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Like, one whole year's wage. That's a lot of money.
It
and
is.
For her to be willing to dedicate that to Jesus shows that she really loved Jesus and she was fully surrendered to Jesus.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And you know what I think it's so interesting is that, you know, Jesus, he's known as the Christ or also the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And if there is one time, apart from when, you know, we see that Jesus was anointed in his baptism by the Holy Spirit, but apart from that event, we would say that the only time we see in the New Testament when Jesus is actually being anointed, you know, with oil, is this event.
Amen.
Have you considered that?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So not only we see here the testimony of a woman who had a love for Jesus, God was also using her in a very special way. Anointings were given to kings and to people who had a special role to play.
That's right.
And God used this woman.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Of all people.
Mm. Yeah. Powerful.
Of all people, a person that had a heart to pour to do this very anointing that was done only by the high priests in very specific situations. Mm. Okay. Yes, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just going to add to, I mean, that actually goes along with what you're saying perfectly. If you've ever smelled spikenard, it's very, very strong. Mm. And so this being done before his crucifixion, it probably was very strong on him still throughout that whole time.
Oh,
so if you think about the people he interacted with during that time, smelling the smell of kings, of the wealthy, and they're crucifying this man who had done nothing wrong. It's just it's another blessing or another aspect to think about.
That's right, Corey. And not only was that, but if you look a little further on John chapter 12, you're going to see it was the triumphal entry of Jesus in this last week, in the Passion Week. So imagine that Jesus, he entered Jerusalem with that smell of a king.
Mm.
Right? Think about this. So we are going to look a little further into that story. And maybe if Tandy, if you read for us from John chapter 12, from verses 4 to 8, and you're going to see, you know, the reaction of some of the present to this outpouring of love from her. What did they say? And how did Jesus respond to them?
Thank you, Sabina. And I'll be reading from the New King James. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always."
Wow.
Oh, wow. So what are some of the reactions you see here, and how did Jesus respond to them? Yes, Jason.
Well, of course, it looked like it was a waste of money. Like, why would you even do that? It could be better used for something else, as the poor. But of course, we understand that that wasn't the motive of Judas.
Right. Of all people,
yeah.
It would be Judas, the one who would be criticizing her gesture. Right.
Yeah. You know, I like how you emphasize that fragrance stayed with Jesus. And I wonder if Mary looked back and said, that was even more significant than I ever realized.
Wow.
In fact, when Jesus said, "She anointed me for my burial," I wonder if she went, Right?
Right.
We may think, well, no, she understood all of that. Everything was, I imagine, back to our lives, when the Holy Spirit guides us to be a witness of Jesus, yeah. who he is, mm-hmm. that God can do miraculous things.
That's right.
And we'll look back with joy mm-hmm. and say, God, you're amazing.
Amen. How God was working through the act right. of devotion, right? That's beautiful. And his attitude towards her was one of acceptance, of affirmation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was not of, like Judas, yeah. of trying judgment. To tell her to withhold from serving him yeah. in love. But I think it's very important also for we to highlight here mm-hmm. that Judas, he was part of the entourage of Jesus. Like uh-huh. he had a big responsibility
yeah.
and the responsibility of carrying the funds that were to be used in that mission.
Mm-hmm.
And of all people, it was the one who had been entrusted mm-hmm. with that, you know, power. Mm-hmm. It was the one who was criticizing the very person that God was mm-hmm. about to use. Yes, Travis.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, I'm as I was reading and thinking about this story, I was most impressed with how Jesus responded.
Mm.
And that is, let her alone.
That's right.
He's always concerned about the people, about his people. You know, John chapter 10, I have them in my hands and no one can snatch them out of my hands. Mm-hmm. Here he's coming to her aid. She's serving him and he says, leave her alone.
Yeah.
I was just impressed by that.
Yeah, that's quite outstanding, right? Especially in a context where women, they were not seen or regarded in society as having a word or being able to do such a expense of money, something of their own volition, right? I wonder if someone was wondering, like, oh, did she get the permission from Lazarus? She was the sister of Lazarus, right? It crosses my mind,
yeah.
right? But no, she's being defended by Jesus, who not only accepts that, but also makes sure to say, let her alone. She's mine. So let's make sure we also, when we see the outpouring and expression of love of people towards God, that we are able to recognize and be sensitive.
Amen.
And
Amen.
How are some of the ways that we ourselves can express love also to Jesus as our Messiah? Yes, Vera.
I talk to more and more people who say, well, I'm saved, so there is nothing really I can do to deserve my salvation, or I can stay the way I am, and I don't have to do anything for God. But I think Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And for me, this is like when you're in a marriage, you don't have to do anything, but you do it because you love this person. And if you never talk about your husband, and if you never talk to him about him or listen to him, then maybe you don't have a real relationship with him.
Okay, so it is important, as one of very important outpouring of love towards God is also that we would be outpouring love towards people. Right, because this is the heart of the law, mm-hmm. love for God and love for people. Mm-hmm. We do those things because he loved us, mm-hmm. and so we also are invited to be loving. Mm-hmm. Right? Any other thoughts? Yes, Jason.
Well, there's a plethora of things we can do, you know, to be able to show that love, though. But what I like to do is actually go to food pantries and help people out, because I know, especially in the economy, things are hard, though. So mm-hmm. I'd be able to be there to be able to be the feet and hands of Jesus during those times to help people out with an actual meal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So charitable deeds.
Correct.
Also. I saw also, Zandili, you had her hand up.
Yes, and I wanted to say that Judas was not in the same nature with Jesus Christ. He was one of the 12, but he was thinking other things different from the ministry of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we can express our love to other people is to be of the same mindset with Jesus Christ and have the nature of God, the character of God within us. So that it will flow from within us to all those around us.
Mm. Amen.
That's wonderful. So there is many things that we can do. And I'm just going to get more Corey's comment also. Corey, I want to hear you. And then we're going to move to the testimony of a person that didn't have the same type of heart than Mary.
Right.
Yes, Corey.
You know, I think a lot of these things that bubble out of us can only come from a relationship with Christ.
Right.
And that is done by spending time with him. And you see couples that when they start dating or get married, they start looking alike because they start acting alike. That's how we reflect Christ to those around us, is spend time with him, know him, so that we can reflect him.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Wonderful. Yeah, I really love this testimony of Mary. Mm-hmm. I think it's so inspiring, Derek and friends, because we all are invited also to pour out everything we have
everything.
To Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I wonder if there is someone watching us and they've been withholding some parts of their life from God, maybe afraid of what could happen. Maybe it sounds something very precious to you, right? The salary of your whole year, or even much more, something deep in your heart, in your mind. But you know, don't withhold those things to Jesus, because nothing you bestow in true worship upon Jesus will ever, ever be wasted.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Look at what he did and how he protected this woman, mm-hmm. and how it multiplies, as Derek was sharing, even through the cross. Mm. There is nothing that you pour upon Jesus Amen. That you are not going to see him taking care of it and multiplying further.
Amen. Praise God.
So let's look here at the witness of Pontius Pilate. Mm-hmm. So now we are moving from Mary, a person that had this heart, so generous heart towards God, to a person that was more reluctant. Mm. So maybe, Corey, if you will read for us, we are going to be reading still from the book of John, chapter 18, verse 38, and then chapter 19, verse 4. And then we together will be thinking, what can we conclude from the testimony of Pilate regarding Jesus?
John 18, 38, to start with, out of the New King James. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he said he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Hmm. And then 19, verse 4. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him."
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are your thoughts? What can we conclude from the testimony of Pilate regarding Jesus? Yes, Puya.
I mean, Pilate stood before the truth in person.
Yeah.
Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said, "I came to make known the truth to the world." And Pilate asked what we could consider one of the most important questions that we could ever ask God. What is truth? But then the text said, then he went away.
Yeah.
He didn't stay to receive the revelation of God.
Mm.
And so there's that lesson for us to stay a little longer
right.
and allow God to reveal himself to us.
That's right. Maybe if Pilate had stood a little longer, mm-hmm. right, paid a little more attention in what he had right in front of his eyes, the story could have been different, at least for him and his family.
Wow.
So I find it interesting also that he found there was no fault in Jesus, even though he didn't resonate with Jesus, right? So he, and that staying a little longer, maybe that you are kind of seeing already something happening, and it may not make sense to you always, because it was not making sense to Pilate, right? He said, "Well, what is true?" Like, it seemed like truth for him was not something that obvious, but for Jesus it was. Mm-hmm. And he should have taken a little longer to maybe understand that, even if he couldn't reconcile that it was exactly what was happening. Yes, Gladys.
At this point, Pilate had already heard about Jesus. Mm-hmm. He had heard about his ministry. He had heard about the miracles.
Right.
So even though he didn't have the full revelation, even though he didn't take the time to speak, he could have at least been a little bit more conscious towards the person that he was dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose not to.
Right. And we are going to see further, maybe if Leslie, if you take us to Matthew 27:19, that there was more revelation that was given to Pilate about Jesus. So let's read there on Matthew 27:19, and we are going to learn about this revelation.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Matthew 27:19. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message: "Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night."
Mm. Mm. Oh, wow. So what special revelation is being given here to him?
Mm.
He had experienced what he saw, his own witness, and now Yes, Derek.
And even if we don't know the content of the dream, we see the love of God. That God loves Pilate, that Jesus wants Pilate to be saved.
Right.
But in my favorite book on the life of Jesus, The Desire of Ages, it speaks about that dream given to Pilate's wife, a revelation of what would happen, including the coming of Jesus in glory. And, you know, one translation said nightmare. Mine just said a dream. I don't know. It was troubling to her because this innocent man was the King of glory. But even if we didn't know the dream, I see the love of God. What else can I do, you know, to reach out in loving rescue, right? Salvation to this person.
That's right. So he not only gave the opportunity for him to witness himself, and he failed to stay a little longer, as Poirier was saying, but he also then took the time to communicate with the person who was the most important person in his life, I suppose, right? To see if maybe he would listen
to
his wife.
Wow. Right? Wow.
Isn't that powerful to see the ways that God is trying to find our hearts?
Yes.
Right? So how do you explain then the actions of Pilate in light of his testimony and special revelation that was given to him? Like, how can we explain that he's still wouldn't hear that? Maybe, yes, Gladys.
Well, we have been talking about how Satan just blinds us and makes us deaf. And obviously in his response to the revelation he has received, in the response to the dream that his wife had, he still did not open his heart to accept Jesus for who he was seeing that he could be.
Yes, Zandili, I see you have your hand up.
As Derek was sharing, I thought of the fact that Pilate and his wife were probably, they were Romans. But we find God revealing himself to the Romans, the Gentiles at that time, people who did not have anything to do with God, people who didn't know him, but he comes to them. Even Jesus, he was about to be a sacrifice for everybody, but God is saying, hey, listen, have nothing. He's revealing himself to show that he cares for all humanity, for everyone, not only the Jews. But in light of the question that you just asked, I wanted to say that God had already said, I have given today in front of you life or death. It's up to you to either you choose life or you choose death.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Pui, I see your hand up. Would you take us to John 19? Verses 1 and 16, we're going to see a little bit more there, and then maybe you can add to your...
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. John 19, verse 1. So then, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And verse 16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. What I wanted to comment on was, Sabina, that... Pilate was pressured by the crowd.
Correct.
You know, it may be easy to kind of blame him, but I believe there's also danger for us today that we too can be pressured to go along with the majority. You know, it's not fun to be different from the crowd. So one reason Pilate, while knowing that Jesus was innocent, why did he still deliver Jesus to be crucified? Well, because he gave in to the pressure of the crowd.
That's right. He gave in to the pressure of the crowd. And he also had a role. And sometimes the pressure can even be because of a certain profession that you have. Because he had a role to play. Part of his role to play was to make sure that all parts and communities were satisfied and happy. You know, so he had to, one day he was satisfying this group and another day. So he had to reconcile his call as a leader with the words or the witness of Jesus that was right in front of him. And it seems like he failed. Yes, Travis.
I was thinking of a song that I sang as a kid, stand up for Jesus. You know, Jesus was going to the cross, whether Pilate flogged him or not, because it was his time. But he could have took a stand for Jesus. And he chose, as was mentioned, not to take a stand because of popular opinion. And I think there's a lesson for us to learn as when we're asked to take a stand, we might not change the situation, but we can stand.
Mm-hmm. That's
we
right.
We can stand for Jesus.
Yes. Mm. So I see many hands up, and I would love to continue talking about that, but we are going to move to our next witness. Mm. And Corey, if you will help us there, we are going to be looking at the witness of Thomas. Mm. Thomas, who struggled to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead. So we know already, we heard from the story of Mary and her testimony. We've seen here in the testimony also of Pilate, was a completely different person than Mary, a different background, a different response. Now let's look at Thomas, who was one of those close followers of Jesus. So if you read for us from John chapter 20, from verses 19 to 24, Corey.
Yeah, I'm reading from the New King James. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came.
Mm. Mm. Okay, so Corey, just stick with us a little longer here. I saw you had your hand up and you just read this text. So why do you think that Thomas was struggling to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead? What are your thoughts?
Mm. You know, I think some people just need to see things with their own hands and eyes. And there were so many doubts because he really believed Jesus was going to be a king on earth right now.
Right. Mm.
And his belief... he doubted everything that was going on, so he needed to see it himself.
Okay, thank you so much. And we are going to look a little further here. Maybe Joshua, if you read for us from John 20, 25 and 26, and we are going to be thinking, what can we learn about more about Thomas from these two verses?
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 20, 25 through 26. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you."
So what can we learn about Thomas? Yes, Gladys.
I think that he is, like Corey was saying, that somebody that needs to be something tangible. Mm-hmm. They need tangible evidence before they can believe. Mm-hmm. But I just love that Jesus, even though he knew that he didn't believe, he's so loving. Right. The love of God is so big that he reaches even beyond our unbelief and reveals himself to us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yes,
you know,
Eric.
I always struggled with calling him Thomas the doubter. Mm-hmm. I think he's a skeptic. I mm-hmm. think, like Corey said, he may need a little more tangible evidence. Mm-hmm. But I want us to note that he's there.
Yeah.
In the upper room.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
8 days later. He's there. Yeah. So his heart mm-hmm. is open.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm so thankful what happens next, because while Jesus says, "Blessed are those who believe even though they don't see," mm-hmm. he doesn't say, you know, "Thomas, you're a loser."
That's right.
Go leave the room.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
No, that I see the love of Jesus there, but mm-hmm. but I want to affirm Thomas, that's even right. though he was struggling, he showed up. Yeah. With the people
right.
of God.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
So looking into that, then maybe Jason, if you read for us, we're going to look at the way that, you know, Jesus encourages Thomas. Mm-hmm. And also how is it that Thomas finally responds to Jesus. So verses 27 to 29, if you read for us there.
It'll be my pleasure. And the Bible says, then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Mm-hmm. Verse 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So first of all, how did Jesus encourage Thomas? Have any thoughts about it? Yes, Travis.
I'm just really impressed by how, by first Thomas' request, and then Jesus giving him exactly what he needs to believe. Yeah. That we've been going through the study of John, and many people were asking for signs. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't give him a sign. And here now Thomas is saying, unless I see this, I think it has to do with the condition of the heart. I think Derek's right. He wanted to believe, but he wanted evidence. And I've been in this situation with Thomas before, and God has revealed himself to me in a powerful way. Amen. When your heart is willing and receptive, God knows what you need, and he will give it and reveal himself to you.
Okay, Puya, I see so many hands up. I mean, we're all stirred up with that story. Yes,
I am very encouraged by this story, because I myself struggle with doubts, you know, quite a lot of time. And there are there can be two types of doubters. One group would be doubting towards faith, and one group would be doubting towards unbelief. What we see from Thomas is that, yes, he was struggling with doubts, but he was doubting towards faith. So if we are struggling with doubts today, there's a lot of encouragement from this story that Jesus doesn't condemn. Instead, the words of Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen me, but believe.
That's
just talking about us.
Amen.
So Thomas, at the same time, he was encouraged by Jesus. So Jesus, he listens to Thomas. He comes towards Thomas. Thomas needs in that moment. But at the same time, he used Thomas' story as an object lesson. Let's put this way for all of us.
Yes, right.
So we that are here, we don't have the chance right now to be like, oh, Jesus, can I touch it? But he is going to make sure that we know that we are more blessed than Thomas if we are able to believe without having that same experience that he had.
Amen.
So Gladys, just to conclude this part about Thomas, what encouragement do you find in this story for your life?
Well, I feel like that man that that Jesus asked him if he believed, and he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, sometimes we have these doubts, but God finds a way to just reveal himself in a personal way to increase towards belief, like Julia was saying, your doubts, but yes, move you closer to him. Towards believing in him.
Amen. Isn't he loving? Isn't he so caring? That even if we are in that moment of doubt, of challenges, he is going to make sure to come towards you because he loves you. He's not trying to make it hard, right, Gladys, for us?
He's not.
He's trying to make as much as he can to attract us to him.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for that. And so maybe, Leslie, if you take us to the final part of our study, we are going to be looking at the way in which John concludes his own witness, right? Because John is also a witness of all that, and he gives that a witness of many things that he saw and what he thinks of Jesus. So if you take us to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, please.
Okay. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miracles, signs, in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
Amen.
Amen. So what testimony is he giving here, John? Yes, Travis.
I'm going to make the argument that that should be the last verse of the Bible, because I think that that encapsulates all of Scripture. I think that's the reason all of Scripture was written.
Amen.
But John wanted to be sure that we knew that that was the reason. Matter of fact, when I study the book of John and I have that understanding, wow, there's a whole new revelation. You read the Bible in a different way when you know that that's why it was written.
Amen. Yeah, it seems like John's desire was that you and I would believe those things. You know, ultimately, all he wanted, and through the Holy Spirit, he was inspired, is because he knew that if we have the life of Jesus, we have eternal life. If we belong to Jesus, you know, we have eternal life. And just to conclude here, do you have a story of your own, your testimony about Jesus? If you're going to say that in short, we don't have much time. Is there something that we can say here that you are inspired to share? Yes, Tandi.
How I came to the church, it was a trying time for me, but I held on to the fact that leaving my job to honor the Sabbath and being unemployed for 3 years, Jesus will honor my fidelity one day. I stood firm to the belief that I had and the conviction I had.
Amen. Thank you, Tandi. I think that each one of us here, if I start asking, we won't have time, would have a testimony to share of the many ways in which Jesus has been touching our life. And that's my invitation also for you who will be watching us, who is watching us. You know, I'm sure that Jesus has been working in your life before even you were alive. He was thinking of you when he made you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. He had a plan for you. He had a desire for your life. And that desire is that you would come to believe in him and have life.
Amen.
So just please take this invitation from Jesus. It's a gift. And not only receive the witness that we see in the Bible from Thomas or from Mary or the prophetic witness of Abraham or the witness of Tandi, Puya, Derek, but also see the witness of what the things are that Jesus will do in your life. I look forward to learn of the ways in which you are witnessing his work in you for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
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 What a powerful study.
Amen.
And blessed are those who believe is not just those back then, but could we testify, we are blessed because we believe.
Amen.
We believe what? We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we have life in his name. Thank you, Sabina, for sharing with us, and thank you for joining us. I just want to appeal to you, as Sabina has, don't let this just be information. John said, these stories are not just to entertain you, but so you can be saved forever in God's kingdom.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, may the testimonies of those who believed that we have shared today, including present testimony, remind us that you are not trying to hide from us, but you want to find us and save us and use us to bless others with the word of hope through you. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What a journey. Take what you've learned, my friend. Go out and be a blessing to those around you.